tremendous, and I appreciate that. I've tried to preach quickly tonight, not keep you very long. We're going to be in the very first book of Samuel. We're going to be in chapter number one. And, first Samuel, chapter number one. If you'll get your Bibles turned there, it's on page 353 of my Bible. And, I don't know what page this is in yours, if you can't find it, just look on with somebody else. If they can't find it, then it'll be on the screens, all right? And I just hope your Bible and act like it. How many of you have done that? Tell the truth. How many of you have done the passage of Scripture and you couldn't find it, so you just sat there with your Bible like it? Come on, I got some people that's with me now. especially when you get over there and somebody says, I want you to turn to the book of Amos. Serious? I mean, all 66 books of the Bible, you had to pick that one? Obadiah. So you sit there and you thumb through it, and then you just say, Ezra's good. Hey, or how about this one? You thumb through your Bible and say, I don't know that book was in the Bible. Don't lie. Hey, look at there. He was serious when he told us to turn to Joel. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, we'll start reading in verse number one. And things that go through my mind while I'm preaching, all right? All right, verse number one. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth-the-Thamzophim. Hey. He was of the Middle East. Of Mount Ephraim. Y'all don't know this, but I'm serious. I practice these things and then get up there and just go brain. And like, it rolls off the tongue while I'm practicing, but it's not so much. All right? But anyhow, he was of the Middle East, all right? Of Mount Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, and the son of Zu, an Ephraimite. I'm glad we got that out of the way. All right, we'll start in verse number two. Right. And the Bible says, and he had two wives. And the name of the first, or the name of the one, was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of the city yearly to worship, to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, meaning that he gave double, okay? He gave double to her, for he loved him. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, and she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. The name Samuel, it means asked of God or heard by God. As I was looking at this passage of scripture, I couldn't get past verse number 10, and I couldn't get past verse number 15. The Bible says in verse number 10 that she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. The Bible tells us in verse number 15, as she was talking to him, talking to Eli, she said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I got to look into this passage of scripture, and I'm glad her story didn't end with bitterness. I'm glad that her story did not end with sorrow. But I do know this, that a lot of people in this day and time are going through bouts of bitterness. If you be honest with me, and if you be honest with yourself, you have questioned God in many of your difficulties. Matter of fact, most of us have come before the Lord with a bitter heart or a sorrowful heart. Who will testify with me?
Amen.
And say that you come to the Lord in that condition? I looked at this passage of scripture, and I want to preach just real shortly and briefly to you on from bitterness to blessings. Because Hannah did not stay in her bitterness. Right. Hannah did not remain in her bitterness. But I want to look at this tonight, and maybe, just maybe, one of you are going through a situation in your life. I'm not going to name things that I know, because we don't want to identify with somebody. I don't want to put it on there and feel like they're being called out. But there are folks that you and I know that are going through very difficult times. And I'll say this, they know how to put on a smile for everybody around them.
Yeah.
They know how to say things. They know how to encourage others when they need encouraging themselves. Have you ever been in that place where your heart was sorrowful, your heart was in bitterness, and yet you still had to be the mama?
Right.
You still had to be the daddy.
Yep.
Maybe you still had to be the Sunday school teacher. You still had to be the Awana worker. You still had to be the nursery worker. You still had to go through your life and put a smile on that face and act as if nothing was wrong. Hannah here was in bitterness of soul, the Bible says. She had got to a place. I want you to notice three things, and I'll go ahead and preach because I don't want to be long. I can do an introduction for an hour and a half and nail every one of us, because we've all been through this. You've been passed up for a promotion and you get bitter in your soul. Come on now, I need somebody to help me right here. Maybe something should have come to you and it ended up going to somebody else. Maybe something happened to you and you look back. How many of you have done this before? You look back and say, why, God, are you blessing them? They don't go to church. They don't want nothing to do with you. They wouldn't read a Bible if you put one in front of them and told them, give them a timeline on it. And here I am. I'm worshiping you. I'm praying. I'm reading your word. I'm singing songs about you, encouraging others about you. And I'm the one that's going through.
Right.
Hannah here was a godly woman. Matter of fact, the Bible says that every year her and her husband went to worship the Lord. I got something for you that's not here in your Bible, but I think this is probably what took place right here. I think that maybe the reason that there was two wives was because Hannah's womb was shut up. And so Elkanah married Peninnah for him to be able to bear children. And then it turned around on him. Come on now, I need somebody to help me right here. It turned around on him, and because of Hannah's barrenness, Peninnah provoked her to anger. Sounds a lot like Abraham and Sarah when they said, hey, take Hagar to be your wife. And when Hagar seen that she conceived, the Bible says this, when she felt or knew that she conceived, she despised Sarah in her eyes. Boy, that is just like people, come on now, I need some help. Ain't it just like some people that when they get a blessing, they like to rub it in your face?
Amen.
Huh? Especially when you haven't got that blessing. I need somebody to, hey, we're going to have church tonight if y'all let it happen, I promise you. There are things that you and I go through every single day. I know you go through them because I go through them. I wouldn't preach them to you if it didn't touch me. And this is something that I deal with. We all deal with this. The righteous looking at those that can care less about God and wondering why.
Yeah.
Do they seem to have the blessings of God? They seem to have the things that we want the most.
Yeah.
And yet they despise them the most. And yet they take them for granted the most. And you and I would give anything to have that.
Yeah, right.
Some of you look at somebody that's got health and you watch them as they abuse their body with all kind of everything. And here you are. You would give anything to be healthy again. Some of you looking at another woman that has children and she can care less, screams at them, beats them, carries on with them, and you'd do anything to have another child. Somebody has taken for granted what you are begging God for. You find yourself in bitterness of soul. We find ourselves questioning God. We find ourselves looking. I got to get a preacher. Like I said, we'll be here all night. I want you to notice she was bitter. She was bitter. Number one, she was bitter. It was because she was barren. The Bible says this, that the Lord shut up her womb. As bitter as she was, I want you to know something. God was still in control of what was going on in her life. As bad as things may seem in your life, God's still in control.
Amen.
I want it so bad, but God has a timetable for it.
Amen.
He may give it to you, he may not. It may be his will, it may not. But here's the thing. God's still in control. The Bible says that the Lord had shut up her womb. She was barren. I notice not only that, but she was one of two wives. That was something to be bitter about.
Right.
Come on, ladies, I need some help right here. That was something to be bitter about. Elkanah was not a very smart man.
Right.
And though the days and the times said that he could take another wife, can I say this? It's proven right here. It wasn't very wise to. Can I say that, listen here, doing marriage the right way is always the right thing to do.
Amen.
And when we don't do it the right way, we deal with the consequences of it. Here, Elkanah took unto him another wife, and though he loved Hannah, and though he gave more to Hannah, can I say this? The very thing that he took on to be a blessing to himself was a curse to her. This woman, the Bible calls her adversary. It says that the other wife, Peninnah, was her adversary. That's how the Bible talks about her. In verse number 6, it says that her adversary, that word right there is pointing to Peninnah. Peninnah was her adversary. The one that had a fruitful womb, the one that was having children, had what Hannah wanted and Hannah couldn't have.
Yeah.
And she was her adversary. As I've already said, a lot of times when people get blessings, they like to rub it in our face. I'll say this, let me, before I forget this, I want to say this to you too. I want you to know this, that Peninnah provoked her. And she provoked her in her worship. The Bible says in verse number 7, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. You better be careful You better be careful when you mess with somebody's worship.
Right.
Oh, Penina. Boy, she thought she had it won. She thought that she was the chosen one because she had had children. And here Hannah was bitter in spirit. Here Hannah was looking at somebody that was evil. Here Hannah was looking at somebody who did not understand and did not care about the things of God. Here she was going year by year doing the things that she was supposed to for God. And she was bitter. And Penina was making fun of her. Penina was provoking her to anger. I couldn't imagine, somebody help me right here, I couldn't imagine having to go to church with somebody that constantly was throwing things back up in your face. It'd be hard to worship. Somebody help me. It'd be hard to worship if somebody was constantly throwing something in your face and provoking you to anger. This woman was bitter. She was bitter as soul, and she had a good reason to be. One thing she wanted more than anything in the world was a child. And as she looked around her, she seen people that cared nothing about the Lord, nothing about the things of the Lord, that had children. That provoked her to anger. I said this, I wrote this down. She was devoted, yet denied of her greatest desire. You ever felt that way? Seems like the things that we don't have are the things that we want the most. But she was devoted to the Lord. Yet she was denied the greatest desire. She was a bitter woman. I noticed this about Hannah, though. She was a begging woman. She was a begging woman. The Bible says here in verse number 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. I want you to notice, first off, she was a begging woman. She went to a place. The place she went to. I want you to know that she did not run. Come on now, I need somebody to help me. She didn't run to the telephone. She didn't run to social media. She didn't run. Come on now, I need somebody to help me right here. She didn't run to no doctors. She ran to the house of the Lord. And the Bible says that she prayed unto him. I want to say this tonight. So many times when you and I find ourselves in bitterness of soul, you and I find ourselves out of the will of God.
Right.
This is a begging woman. She knew where she could get a hold of God. She knew where her answer lied. And she went to the house of the Lord. I need somebody to help her. I appreciate all y'all being here. Y'all are the cream of the crop. I promise you, that's how I feel about you to come on Sunday night and Wednesday night. You are the cream of the crop. But I'm going to tell you something. I have watched many of the cream of the crop get bitter and soul and walk out on God as they were church. And you know as well as I do, we've had Sunday nights and Wednesday nights where we've close to 200 people sitting in this building. Over time, something didn't work out the way they thought it should work out. Something didn't happen the way that they felt like it should happen. And they've allowed their bitterness to remove them from the church house instead of driving them to the church house. Man, I'm going to tell you something. If I can get anything across to you, I want to get this across to you. Your dependence on God needs to be as such that any insufficiency
Yeah.
drives you directly.
That's right. That's good.
I couldn't say that again if I wanted to. That was just Lord, I pray that was a blessing to you. But our dependence on Him needs to be in a place where any insufficiency that we have
That's right.
drives us directly towards Him.
Amen.
The place she went. I noticed the prayer that she made. It was a selfless prayer. She said, God, give me a child. I want a man child more than anything. And God, if you'll give him to me, she says, I'll give him back to you. Hey, listen to me. She said, if you'll give him to me, I will give him back to you. I wonder if God's not given us all that we want because we're not willing to give what we have back to him. Maybe our barrenness through and that I go through is because God couldn't trust us with the blessing and he gave it to us at that time. We got to get to a place, somebody help me right here, we got to get to a place where we're willing to take the blessing that God gives us and give it back to him.
Amen.
I think about Abraham in this very situation. Abraham wanted a son. Abraham was promised a son. Abraham had a son. His name was Isaac. And then God asked for Isaac back. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 22 that as Abraham raised up the knife to slay his son, that God stopped him and he said, "Now I know, because of this, now I know that I'm first. I'm first." You're willing to give up your son. You're willing to give up your promise. You're willing to give up the very thing. Come on now. That's good stuff. I wonder tonight if the very thing that you're praying for and that you're begging God for, the reason you haven't got it is because you're not willing to give it back to him.
Mm.
Or say, "Well, why would you want it? And then you're going to have to give it back to him." You want it bad enough. Come on now. You'd be willing to give it back to him. And I found this out with God. God does a lot more giving than he does taking.
Mm-hmm.
God does a lot more giving than he does taking. And just like Abraham went up on that mountain to offer up his son, Abraham came down that mountain and his son was with him.
Right.
Oh, I need somebody to help me
right
there.
Right.
He offered his son.
That's right.
But he walked back down the mountain with his son.
Yes.
And the place she went, the prayer she made, the promises she kept. In verses 24 and 28, I didn't read them, but it says, "And when she had weaned him," talking about Samuel, "she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, 'Oh my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I pray, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord.'" And he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel was the last judge of Israel. He is also a prophet of Israel. As we look at this passage of scripture, I want you to notice that this is a bitter woman. I want you to notice that she was a begging woman, but I want you to notice that she was a blessed woman. I notice this. She was loved even though she didn't think she was. I got to look at this passage of scripture and there's just a verse that sticks out to me here. In verse number 8, "Then said Elkanah unto her husband to her, 'Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" You know, oftentimes in our bitterness of soul, we overlook what God has already right in front of us. Man, I wish I could preach this like I'm living it. We overlook the very blessings of God because we lack one thing in our life. We don't have it. We don't have this job. And so we get upset with God and we overlook our health. We overlook our children. We overlook our husbands. We overlook our families, our homes, our lives. Because somebody help me now. If I'm wrong, you tell me I'm wrong. But I find in my bitterness of soul that my focus is on one thing. And I take my focus off of everything else that's good and everything else that God has given me. Elkanah loved Hannah to the point he gave her a double portion. And to the point he said to her, "Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" And there ain't no doubt she wanted a son more than anything in the world. But I want to bring this up to you and I want to point this out to you. Our society is suffering today because of lack of God help me, I'm being real right here. We're suffering today because of lack of contentment. There's a husband and a wife, and the fire or the spark or the flame or whatever, however you want, the fireworks are no longer there. But she's a good wife. She's a good wife. She loves him with all of her heart. She does for him. She cooks. Or at least knows how to make a bowl of cereal. I need somebody to say amen. Gotta be careful nowadays. Back in the day, you say, can she cook good? Nowadays, does she know how to microwave? We were joking with somebody at the house today, and I said, can you cook? And she said, sometimes. And I said, what do you cook? Peanut butter and jelly? She said, yeah. Hey. They look at it, listen, I got a wife that loves them, cherishes them, and I know what I'm talking about. I'll tell you why, because I've sat in the office and counseled. She'd have done anything to keep her marriage together. But yet there was one thing missing from the marriage, and so they both stepped out on one another, or he stepped out on her, or she stepped out on him. And now they're living a life that is ruined. Somebody help me right here. Divorce. Can I say this? Divorce has ruined many people. Not just family, people. Kids, children, all kinds. We go on down the list. But it all stemmed from not being content and desiring one thing. And we'll leave the greatest blessing of our life to chase after that one thing that we want. Help him. And then find out that when we get that one thing that we wanted, we wasn't ready for the 80% to come with it. God help us. God help us to be content. She was blessed. You know, this woman was blessed. I know she wanted a child. I know you want that thing more than anything in the world, but you have got to get to a place in your life where you look at what God has given to you.
Yeah.
You look at what God has done for you, and you say, thank you, Lord, for all he's done. I'm going to lift my hands to praise him. Even if I don't get to hold a child, I need somebody to help me tonight. Even if I don't get to hold that child, I'm going to lift my hands to praise him for all he's done. Even though I don't get to have that bank account that I want, or I don't get to have that job that I want, or I don't get to have that toy that I want, I'm going to raise my hands to praise him.
That's good.
For all he's done. We are a blessed people.
Yeah.
We are a blessed people. Half of us tonight is going to go out and eat somewhere. We're going to go out and eat somewhere when people in other countries are begging for just a morsel of food. You and I are going to go out and eat somewhere. You and I, we get to enjoy a church service in the air condition where people are meeting in floods and they're standing in water and listening to the gospel. Don't get so caught up in what you don't have.
Amen.
That you miss out. Listen, bitterness of soul. Bitterness of soul, and I don't mean to make Hannah out to be a bad person, but I've seen it in church way too many times. Bitterness of soul comes from something that we can absolutely live without. But we want it so bad that we put all of our focus on it, and we forget about how good God has been to us. We look at that one thing that we just cannot get over, but there's a thing. If he didn't give it to you, it wouldn't make your life any less. It wouldn't make it any worse. God's still good. I'm going to go on, all right? And the love that she received, the substitute that she ignored her husband, the man of God that she trusted. Eli wasn't perfect in no sense. Matter of fact, this was a time when the nation of Israel was in idolatry. This was a time when his sons were doing wrong and he wasn't reprimanding them. But yet, listen to me, she trusted the man of God. God put somebody in her life in front of her that she could trust and that she could depend on. I'm going to say this, and I hope y'all don't take it the wrong way. I hope I don't sound wrong. It's hard to preach. I don't even know how to say this. God's blessed me with you, but God has blessed you with me. And I'm not tooting my horn. Please don't misunderstand me. But God's given me you, and what an encouragement you are to me. But God has given you me. And I want you to know, there may come a time, hey, listen, the Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There may come a time where I fail and fail this church, but I want you to know something. I honest to goodness have your best interest in heart. And I'm trying my best to do what God would have us to do. That's how we led this church from the time we got here. We don't do anything. We don't have rules around here. We don't have a program that we stick with. We just try to follow the Lord, mind the Lord. We try to allow God to have access to our lives and to have access to our services and let Him run. And God, I promise you, even though the message might not be the one that you want to hear, I believe that God speaks to all of us if we'll listen.
Amen.
I believe that God speaks to all of us. And well, listen, matter of fact, I used to say it like this all the time, and I quit saying it, but I used to say it like this all the time. If you're not getting fed at Calvary Baptist Church, it's because you're not eating what's on your plate. And there's some things that you don't like to eat, and I get a witness right there. And there's liver, and nobody likes to eat, and I get a witness. Somebody help me. And absolutely, we will not have any liver in this church. Amen. And it's some of that is absolutely the only people Miss Lucy will, you know, put something on there about liver and onion. Make me want to puke. Huh? Then she'll post something. Somebody help me right here. Snot on a stick. That's what I call okra. That's been boiled. Now listen here. You cut that stuff up fried? Come on. I need somebody to help me. I'm in heaven. I mean, I'll eat it until I'm sick in my stomach. But man, you got... pull that thing out, it's all snot looking at me. I see stuff like that come out of White's nose. I am not eating. I need somebody to help me, brother. No, I haven't. There's other things that you and I don't like that's put on our plate sometimes. We don't like it, but let me say this. That okra's good for you, I'm sure it is.
Yep.
Somehow. Liver, my mom always told me liver was good for me. She said it's got a lot of iron in it, so we buy vitamins now with iron. I need some help right there. I get a dose of iron every day and don't have to eat a liver. Ugh. Lots of times the reason that we aren't fed is because we don't like what's on our plate. And lots of times the reason we don't like what's on our plate is what we're going through that day. People come in here and get upset over something that's preached that they've listened to 100 times. They've heard me say it 100 times. But they come in bitterness of soul. And all of a sudden, man of God should trust the blessing of the Lord that delivered. I love the verse, how it ends in verse number 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife. Look here. And the Lord remembered her. I say God ain't forgot who you are. God's not forgot where you are. Just like Hannah prayed to God. Listen, and God heard it. God's hearing you too. My point tonight, what I wanted to get across is don't allow bitterness of soul to rule your life. This woman, she was in great pain. I know she was. She was a sorrowful heart. Lord bless her. I know the story and I understand it. But I want to apply it tonight because I see so many folks that are in bitterness of soul over something that don't matter. And then they get upset and they get mad at God. They leave the church. They get mad at God. They run away from the Lord. When all of them, listen to me, all of them, she went and she returned to the house of the Lord. She prayed unto God. She trusted the man of God. The Bible says the Lord remembered. God help us tonight. Oh, we can get around the altar tonight. Dog gonna get on that piano for us. You come around the altar tonight. Maybe you're going through a difficulty. Maybe you know somebody that's going through a difficulty. why don't you come pray for them? If you don't have anything to pray for, come pray for them. Don't allow yourself to get bitterness of spirit, bitterness of soul over something that you can live without, over something that you can do without. You come to the house of the Lord, now come in prayer to the Lord. Pour out your heart to the Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want you to listen. She said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. Listen, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. I poured out my soul before the Lord. Tonight, won't you pour out your soul before the Lord? I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But the devil wants nothing more than to get you in a place of bitterness, to get you in a place of a bitter soul, a place where you question God, a place where you rebuke God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, I thank you for my church. Lord, I thank you for the people you placed in my life. Lord, I pray they know that they are as much as an encouragement to me, God, as they claim that I am to them. God, to walk into church and see the people, Lord, that are faithful, that love you, that desire to be closer. Lord, it encourages my spirit. Lord, please allow me to stay focused, God, on those that you've allowed me, the pastor, to shepherd. Lord, may I not get a bitterness of soul over those who have left. Lord, may I pray for them. Lord, everybody's situation is different. There may be some that are just like Hannah that wants a child. They prayed for that child. For whatever reason, Lord, to this day, at this time, their womb is shut up. God, I pray that you'd extend grace to them. Lord, as people lay on the altar in their prayers, Lord, whatever they are, for whatever they are, God, they're important to them. Therefore, Lord, they're important to me. God, we know that they're important to you. And once again, we ask for grace. Lord, I pray that we all depend on you and our insufficiencies.
Yes, sir.
And look to you in our bitterness. God, we pray that you remember us. Lord, we'll be sure to give you the honor and the glory. God, give you back what you've given to us. Lord, it's not mine anyway. There's nothing, Lord, that you've ever given me that's mine anyway. It's all yours. May I keep that spirit. May we all keep that spirit. Lord, it's yours. It was yours to begin with. Lord, we just got to borrow it. We just had the opportunity to borrow it for a little bit. God, thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you leave with us, go out of here with us. Lord, that we not go to our homes tonight, go back to life as if this service never happened. God, may we take what we've heard tonight and apply it to our lives. Lord, and walk with you. Lord, in spirit and in truth. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor and glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.